Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from A Greater Than Solomon. A Greater Than Solomon. We're doing number 22 of this series. We only have one more after this. I want to talk today first about some high school humiliation, 60s style. Now, I understand why some Christians are crying for the old days when discipline, from the police to the school to the family, was in place. It was a safer world, a more predictable world. I was playing the jerk in my high school gym class about 1962, 1963, and I was getting others to join in with me, to the consternation of my gym teacher, who happened to be the school's football coach, a strong man. You didn't mess with Mr. Jackson. Unless you happen to be a jerk. Suddenly Mr. Jackson froze and looked straight at me. I was in the back row of four rows of male students. I'm so glad they hadn't yet gone co-ed, or the shame would have been multiplied. He called out someone else's name and told him to go downstairs and get his paddle. Oh yeah, that was all legal. Columbus, Ohio, 1960s. I was summoned to the front of the class, told to bend over and grab my ankles. I don't remember the rest, but it was unpleasant. True, I never messed around in gym class again. True, this was the world, not the church. But the coach had made a point, and the point is now being made by Christian homes. There are some things you can't solve any other way, they say. True? Well, I don't remember my past history, all of it. Was this a first event? Was I always that obnoxious? Why didn't my parents deal with me? What should the church have done with such a guy? For after all, we are dealing in this book with the church's obligation. Those who wield the rod claim to be a shepherd of the flock. Well, is this the way God's big people are to deal with God's little people all the time? You know, I think we've answered that in the scriptures above. And pause before you answer. It may not be so easy. Here's another consideration. Jehoshaphat and Ahab. Bible people may remember these two kings in Jewish history. The former was a good king of Judah in the south. The latter, Jezebel's husband, who ruled in the northern kingdom called Israel. These two nations were often at war with each other, and understandably so. In their earlier years, the people of Judah clung to temple worship, the Aaronic priesthood, and all that was good about God's laws. Israel went soon after its split with Judah into idolatry, and worse. And Ahab was among the most devilish of the lot. But as it turned out, there was a period of time when Ahab needed a partner against an enemy that was common to Israel and Judah. He asked for help. Jehoshaphat of Judah agreed immediately, for some reason, and graciously, too graciously, said the prophet of the day. The southern king was rebuked for his improper fellowship with evil. Now, this little booklet that I've put together here, this study that we've been going through, is written by a Christian to a Christian audience. Others may read it, of course, but Christians and non-Christians do have a different agenda in life. So why do we join forces with so many others outside the church who are decrying the evils of Christian abuse? This is a question each one will have to answer personally. My own conscience tells me to press forward, deal with the church's people and leaders, worry not about who comes along. I'm not to join any group that's outside the new covenant, but I will be, simply by the nature of this case, in the company of those who hate what I hate and what God hates. My apologies, by the way, on behalf of one set of the people of God, to the people outside the church, for the outrageous behavior of some of his people, at least that claim to be his people, in another set. This abusive home stuff is not who we are or who we want to be. But can we write off the people of God and join with those who hate them? It would hurt me deeply if our push for government interference would cause the government to enforce non-Christian values on homes like these. But it hurts me equally to think that the church, which is often not very effective in judging its own people, the church is allowing abuse to fester, thinking it is obeying God's commands. So who's going to be raised up among us to save us from sexually ravenous priests and baby beaters? If we won't judge ourselves, we've got to be judged from the outside. What alternative is left? Well, here comes my verdict. The investigation is over. What if, while the appropriate persons make their ruling on this case, a horrible thought surely must be presented to both sides. And the thought is, what if the victims and the defendants are both right and both wrong? What if they both told the truth, but not the whole truth? What if the abused could only see the abuse and not be aware that there were some happy campers at these places, that there were some good meals, good activities, good facilities, even good people? Always and all the time are terms that mature people do not use. No activity in our life is all the time. I dare say that even in North Korea, prisoners have a moment or two of reprieve. Could not there have been such moments or hours or even days of relative harmless behavior in these homes that I'm talking about, that I've singled out for our attention? Could not all of this be true and yet the bad testimonies be true too? What if, abusers, you were not able to see the pain you were causing, a pain that would never go away? There was a certain amount of pain you wanted to happen. I understand it. But maybe your beatings were too severe, your rebukes were too unkind, your practices were far removed from biblical compassion, the greater than Solomon. What if your record is indeed stained with abusive tendencies? What if you founded your beliefs on faulty interpretations of Solomon and ignored Jesus and Paul on the way? That would not take away from the fact that you provided much good for these troubled teens. Their stories of happy days would not be denied, but their not telling of abusive, unhappy times, well, that would be regrettable and even deceptive. Brothers in the homes, is it really your notion that these hundreds of whistleblowers, who are now quite grown up, is it really your notion that they're all Antichrist people who have a sudden urge to target your ministry because their feelings were hurt 25 years ago? Is that really what you think? Can both sides admit they didn't really tell it all? I'm just saying. Judge not. It will seem that this made-up trial of mine was unfair. It was obvious whose side I was on from the beginning. Some may wish to call it a mistrial. Others say that no person has a right to try another. We're certainly going to hear about Matthew 7:1, don't judge, or you will be judged. And I take that admonition seriously, and I try to guard my speech and my report, limiting myself as much as possible to the bald facts of the case. I've judged myself. I've confessed my guilt. I've repented of bad parenting. But the facts are clear, in my opinion. Abuse does take place, sometimes by policy, not just by mistake. It needs to be addressed. And those who have broken laws need to be prosecuted. More importantly, correction of the problem. And all need to be forgiven, of course, if indeed repentance is forthcoming. We must not be condemning in our judgment, but wise and careful, looking to ourselves and our own many needs, and being serious about protecting the ones needing that protection. We remember that Assyria was called of God to judge Israel, but she went too far and became unnecessarily abusive. Assyria then had to be judged too. So you've disciplined those children. Well, they needed it, some of it, but you went too far. Now you've got to be disciplined. Oh my, don't go too far. Be careful. But let's move ahead with setting free some some women who otherwise may be in grave danger. Remember the Titans. That's now an old movie. A tough high school football coach. Some rough teens. Awful methods. Awful words. Now, the team turns out great, though the coach has to learn a few things on the way. Moral of the story, you got to be tough with some people. You got to do things that look and sound horrible if you want to turn kids around. Is that the moral of the abusive home way? Seems to be. Do whatever it takes to achieve the desired end, right? Tough guy, rough kids, beat 'em. Lock 'em up, shame 'em. Do whatever to gain control over these lives. Break 'em. Doesn't matter if they're already broken. By life. Break 'em again and again until they call you Lord and Master. Win this game. Send 'em out loving you. Well, that may be the way of the world, the way of the Titans. That's not Jesus' way. That's not Jesus' way. Jesus' way is Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you that labor, are heavy laden, troubled. I'll give you rest. Now, I didn't say don't discipline. Please don't anyone even dare to suggest that I don't believe in discipline, and sometimes difficult. But I'm afraid we've gone way too far in some of these homes, maybe in some of the families to which I'm talking. I raised teenagers. I taught teenagers in middle school. It's not easy at all. They're a different creature. I wasn't successful during those years. Has to be among the most frustrating of all careers. This we give to the abusers, we understand. Especially if all this is just a mistake and you really are trying not to be this way. And we allow that we might not do it better, but let's be honest, let's be real. Read the stories of these people who have been abused. Weep with them and join the resistance to these places for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, got other things on this website. I tell you that every day. I'm going to tell you again today. Go there. Go looking around. Check on the word. Click on the word series, S-E-R-I-E-S, and see for yourself that there's many things that just might bless you on this site. Check my other website too, FaulknerTales.com. Getting off to a slow start there, but expecting better things. I'm reading the stories of the Bible now. Today I start a series, or continue a series, on the parables of Jesus. And so we got a mix of all kinds of stories that could be good for you, for your children. Hope you'll check it out. Anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk very soon. Bye-bye.